Chapter 22.
Cut the lights and pull over here,
Nans whispered a few minutes later as Lexi drove along one of the streets on the outskirts of the community center. It was dusk, and the street was bathed in shadows. But Lexi recognized Jack's car parked a few houses down. She coasted to a stop across from a small, cozy-looking bungalow. Nans had the door open almost before she stopped, and the ladies piled out. Jack got out of his car and approached them, keeping his voice low.
"Okay, ladies, I can handle this. We could be confronting a killer. I can't let civilians get hurt."
He started toward the front door. Nans watched him walk to the door, then turn to the rest of them.
"If my guess is correct, we'll find the killer out back. Let's go."
She hurried to the side of the house, Lexi and the others following. Lexi could smell the fire before they rounded the corner. In the middle of the yard, a stone fire pit blazed, orange flames licking at the darkening sky. A lone figure stood next to it, tossing papers into the fire.
"Destroying evidence?"
Nans asked as she walked up to Sylvia Hensel. Sylvia frowned at Nans, then glanced at the rest of the women.
"No, I'm just enjoying a bonfire. Is that a crime?"
"No."
Jack appeared from the side of the house and grabbed a stick from the woodpile, then used it to pull out the half-charred remnants of a book.
"But interfering with a murder investigation certainly is."
"You killed Mary?" Ruth asked. "For a book?"
"I didn't kill anyone,"
Sylvia said, staring into the flames once more, her expression unreadable.
"Tell us what happened at the party, Sylvia."
Lexi closed in on the other side of her. The heat from the fire prickled her skin. It was summer, after all, and a warm evening. "Tell us what you did that night."
"We already know you were in the office with Mary. I heard you," Helen said. "And you also lied about seeing Howard coming down the hall. He couldn't have been there because he wasn't in the hall, was he? He was near the closet."
"I don't know. I thought I saw him, but with everything going on, I was confused,"
Sylvia said, her tone soft and tinged with sadness.
"Maybe my timing was off."
"There was nothing wrong with your timing," Ida said. "You know why Howard was in that closet, don't you?"
"Of course she does," Nan smiled. "She's the one who slipped Howard a note telling him to meet Lorelei there."
"Really, Mona?" Ida turned to her friend. "How do you know that?"
"Easy enough, once I put all the clues together."
"Remembered the night of the party when we were all sitting there at the table and Sylvia came by and slipped that note under Howard's plate. We all saw it, but we thought it was something to do with the raffle."
"Yeah, I was still holding out for tickets to Cactus Joe's," Ida said. "I remember a few of us even checked under our own plates to see if we had one too, but we didn't," Helen said. "I remember from the rules sheet Mary passed out prior to the party that there was supposed to have been one of those hidden notes present at every table. Then the raffle was cancelled once the police arrived."
"That's right," Nans agreed. "But your note had nothing to do with the raffle, did it, Sylvia?"
Sylvia snorted and shook her head.
"You have no proof of any of this."
"Oh, but I think we do."
Nans pointed to Sylvia's pearls.
"Your necklace and earrings. You always wear the pearls because they were your mother's. I've never seen you without them. But the other day, I noticed that you'd switched to wearing diamond earrings instead of the ones matching your necklace. Why is that, Sylvia?"
Could it be because you lost one of the pearl earrings? Say, maybe it fell off into the blueberry pie when you struggled with Mary?
Lexi stared at the diamonds twinkling in Sylvia's ears. Of course. How could she have missed it? Now she remembered that the day after Mary's death, they'd gone to talk to Sylvia, and she'd had the pearl necklace on, but not the earrings.
What? Sylvia said, her tone incredulous.
But we didn't find an earring in the pie, Jack said, frowning.
No, I'm sure you didn't, because Sylvia retrieved it before you arrived.
Nan sighed.
That's what the killer was digging for, not the key like we'd thought.
Ida snapped her fingers.
Because the killer already had the key. That's right. Remember how you said your dentures stained something terrible when you ate blueberry pie?
Nance asked Ida.
Ida nodded. Well, pearls stain just as easily, and all that blueberry sauce would have been a nightmare. Sylvia couldn't wear that earring anymore.
Nance raised a brow at Sylvia.
Could you?
Sylvia's eyes darted between Nan's and the ladies before turning to Jack.
And the key that Mary wore around her neck, she wasn't wearing it that night, was she? It would have clashed with her pink outfit. And it had no pie stains on it. She had probably entrusted it to you.
Nan's pointed at Sylvia.
You're wrong.
Sylvia sounded tired. As if she knew she'd been caught and was just going through the motions.
Jack, I'm sure that if you get a warrant to inspect the interior of Sylvia's house, you'll find all the proof you need.
She glanced down at the still smoldering book at Jack's feet.
Plus, she was burning evidence.
But why would she burn something so valuable?
Helen asked.
The copy of Chandler Bennington's book that Mary bought at the rummage sale was long gone by the night of the party. This one was a fake. The original copy was the one we found sold on eBay.
But that auction took place weeks ago, Ruth said.
Yes, right after Mary had first bragged about her purchase around the community center, claiming she'd discovered a real treasure with Bennington's authentic signature.
The one Sylvia tried to burn tonight is the one she forged. That's why she needed it gone.
Sorry, I'm not following any of this, Ida said.
Don't you see?
Nan's turned to face the group.
It makes perfect sense. The only person who would know whether or not the signature in that book was authentic was Chandler himself. Things were going fine for Sylvia until Mary convinced Chandler to come to the center to award the winner the prize of his signed book. But by that time, Sylvia had already stolen the original from the safe and replaced it with the fake. The signature made it valuable. No one else here, not even Lorelei, had any idea how much the original book was actually worth, so they wouldn't look too closely. It wouldn't have mattered. But Chandler's arrival changed everything. That's why Sylvia was so uncooperative when Chandler wanted to see the book. I'm guessing Sylvia was thinking perhaps she could destroy it or damage it badly enough before the contest that it couldn't have been used as a prize. But then circumstances prevented that from happening, and she had to turn to desperate measures to keep Chandler from seeing it after the contest. He would have known immediately that his signature had been forged.
It was a good plan, too. It would have worked,
Sylvia said, her words hushed by the crackle of the fire.
Trying to eke out a living on Social Security is hard. I have expensive taste. That book was just sitting there in Mary's safe,
collecting dust.
She blinked slowly, her face illuminated in dancing shades of orange and yellow.
Mary didn't care one whit about it, other than bragging rights for finding it in the first place. She doesn't even like to read cozy mysteries. So yes, I took it and I sold it. All I wanted was a little extra money, a little more to back up my savings and have to spend for a rainy day. I never meant to hurt anyone.
Tears welled in her eyes, reflecting the fire's glow.
I never intended to kill Mary. I was just trying to talk her into giving another prize besides the book.
A voucher for Cactus Joe's would have been good,
Ida muttered. Sylvia continued.
But she wouldn't do it. Lucky for me, she carried along that stupid, worthless trophy. The contest was scheduled to start soon, and I couldn't be seen. I grabbed the nearest thing I could find in the dark and hit Mary over the head with it to knock her out. I was going to pretend someone stole the book.
She squeezed her eyes shut.
I didn't think I'd hit her that hard. But then she wouldn't wake up. So I pulled the book from her hands and dragged her into a seat. Good thing I work out. She was heavy. My earring fell out in the melee, and I had to waste time digging for it through all those blueberries. I barely had time to shimmy out the window and close it again after me before Lexi walked in and found Mary.
Sylvia hiccuped on a sob.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to Mary and to all of you. I'm so, so sorry.
Jack dropped his stick then and moved forward, unclipping the set of handcuffs attached to his belt.
Sylvia Hensel, you're under arrest for the murder of Mary Archer. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law.
As Jack read Sylvia her rights, Lexi turned back to Nans, who was watching the action with the other ladies.
Go figure,
Ida said, shaking her head.
It wasn't the key that was in the pie, but an earring.
Nan sighed.
I knew something wasn't right when I saw that key in Mary's office when we did our walkthrough at the center earlier. It wasn't until later that I realized Sylvia was the only person with access to both keys besides Mary. And we'd seen the key hanging on the ribbon in the security office earlier. So Mary's key actually wasn't ever missing. Sylvia had it the whole time.
And she could have accessed the safe at any time. I'm sure Mary would give her the key, or she could have used the one from the security office,
Helen said.
So she could have removed the book and replaced it with the fake at any time. No one would be the wiser.
When Lorelei confessed, and we discovered her wearing the earrings Howard had given her, it got me thinking about how Sylvia hadn't been wearing the pearl earrings that matched her necklace, even though she loved them, Nance continued. It hit me. If Sylvia had been wearing those pearl earrings at the party, and one of them had been damaged, say, by falling into a blueberry pie during her struggle with Mary in the pie room, that would have been quite a mess.
Just like my dentures,
Ida said.
Yep,
Nans laughed.
The same thing would have happened to Sylvia's pearls.
Well, another case solved by the Ladies Detective Club.
Ida held her fist out, and all the ladies bumped it as Jack escorted Sylvia away.
Hey, Jack!
Nans yelled just before he disappeared around the side of the house, causing him to turn and look at her.
Throw the book at her!